The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. It is a delight, privilege, and honor to have with us attorney Mike Bailey. He is the former United States Attorney for the District of Arizona. He is a partner with the law firm of Tully and Bailey and was one of the lead attorneys on the case we broke to you as it was handed down yesterday, the case of several property owners and residents in the city of Phoenix suing the city of Phoenix to help cure this dramatically awful, horrible chronic homelessness problem in what is the zone. We had Mr. Bailey's partner, Professor Werman, on the week before talking about the case. And as I say, it was decided yesterday on behalf of the plaintiffs and against the city of Phoenix. Well done, Mr. Bailey. Congratulations. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Well, thank you, Seth, and thank you for having me. And yes, you're right. We're very pleased that the court was able to see through all the smoke the city was putting up in this case and found what's obvious to everyone, which is that there was a nuisance condition on the streets downtown Phoenix.
People, the legal term of art, nuisance, people maybe not trained in law hear the word nuisance and they think, you know, a fly is bothering them or, you know, is spoiling a picnic. When we talk about a public nuisance in the case at hand here, for example, we're talking about a virtual dystopia, aren't we, Mike?
Well, absolutely. And to meet the legal standard, you really, really need to show that the conditions are, you know, oppressive for those who are rightfully in the area. And that certainly fits the bill in this case. And the court went through the long list of conditions that sadly have developed down there in what we call the zone over the past few years especially.
Mike, talk to me a little bit about why the city was so hesitant to do anything. Part of it was probably will. Part of it was relying on a legal precedent that you argued they were misreading and the court agreed with you on, right?
That's right. They really had two legal defenses.
Yes, sir.
Forward in the case. One was the Ninth Circuit case. And we know, I'm sure you've talked enough about the Ninth Circuit on your show to know that some, different rulings come out of the Ninth Circuit from time to time. This case arose originally in the city of Boise, Idaho, and, basically in what, in my view, I think was a stretch, the Ninth Circuit concluded that it's an Eighth Amendment violation to prosecute someone for violating the public camping laws by sleeping in public, essentially to forbid people from sleeping in public. And that in and of itself kind of opened a floodgate. And you see all around the western United States, it was a result of the city of Boise ruling where all these homeless encampments grew up in recent times. Unfortunately, the city of Boise declined to appeal that case to the Supreme Court. And that's one of the frustrating things when you don't get to be the plaintiff and you don't get to take it up to the Supreme Court to try and get it overturned. So the city of Boise, you know, giving in at some point after the Ninth Circuit led to the entire western United States having homeless encampments. So the second thing the city said in defense is essentially, dear court, dear judge, we are the policymakers, which is true, and you have no right to tell us how to handle a problem. And the judge's response to that was, well, you're right. I don't have a right to tell you exactly how to handle it, but I have a right to tell you to handle it. In other words, whatever you do, you can't do nothing. So that answered half of your question, I think.
Yep.
The other half is complex and is what is the city's motivation in managing that area the way they have and perhaps we can get into that.
Sure.
But that, I think, goes more to wanting to, you know, find a utopian solution that will forever end homelessness, which, you know, is a panacea. Of course, we've had these issues with us, you know, forever in a sense.
Yeah, let me get back to that part of it when we come back on the other side of this break, Mr. Bailey, if I can. This was a short segment. We'll have a longer one coming right up. But yes, as you argued and as the court found, the city's inaction, their indolence, their faulty relying on the Boise decision allowed for not just what most people would think of as a nuisance in an annoying sense, but an inhabitable place, a breeding place, as I'm reading the opinion, for insects and rodents, a breeding place for human excretions and garbage and organic waste deposited and discharged. Basically, for anyone who's been there, a place that looks like a bombed out war zone in somewhere like Darfur, Sudan, right here in downtown Phoenix. Thankfully, your lawsuit prevailed, and the city's going to have to do something about it. We'll pick up on that when we come right back. Mike Bailey is our guest, former United States Attorney for the District of Arizona and a partner with Tully & Bailey, prevailed against in a lawsuit he was representing the plaintiffs on, prevailed in a monumentally important case that was decided yesterday on behalf of the residents of the city of Phoenix and against the governance of the city, the government of the city of Phoenix. It was also a victory for humanity, Mike, and a victory for, I think, common sense. The notion that the city could stand arms akimbo as they were watching all kinds of not only self-harm among this population take place, but harm against and within that population. I like to point out, or I think it's important to point out, that a lot of the violence that takes place, the primary victims of those violence are the other homeless people there. And of course, that wasn't just contained to a few city blocks. People who have been in the area noticed that it was growing and growing and growing, ever outwardly expanding, that something had to be done. And one of the things that I thought was creative lawyering on your part was you proposed a couple of solutions, too. Would you like to talk to the audience about some of the stuff you have, some of the things, proposals you folks made to the city, that the city doesn't have to stand there idle?
Right. And we simply pointed out that there are intermediate steps that would allow the city to comply with that Ninth Circuit case, Martin v. Boise, and yet would both give the homeless shelter, albeit temporary, and would also create enough shelter space that the city would be allowed to enforce the ordinance about, you know, public camping, essentially, for those that remained. And that's really, you know, at the core of the issue is a large number of people in the zone, we don't know how many, are what they call service resistant. They don't want drug treatment. They don't want mental health treatment. They want to live their lives as they see fit. And I'm sure nobody, of course, I should say, nobody wants to be homeless or living in a tent where it's very dangerous in these same conditions we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you gave them the choice, unfortunately, many of them would choose to stay right where they are rather than go into a shelter that would not allow them to bring drugs in or other items of personal interest, pets and that kind of thing. And the city basically took that reality and made the conclusion that the only way we're going to solve this problem is with permanent housing. And so focus their efforts on a final, answer to housing as opposed to these intermediate steps that would be able to deal with it. And all that comes along with that is that you have a place where, the laws aren't enforced in large part. And not surprisingly, people are attracted to that place. And so the area has continued to grow with people who, you know, beyond our comprehension, certainly, are choosing to live there in some cases. And again, it's not a choice that they'd rather not have a home than have a home.
Yeah.
But with some of the restrictions that might come with a shelter, they're choosing to remain outside.
Newspaper, Arizona Republic, online at least, has a story saying judge orders removal of tents from Phoenix's largest homeless encampment. Will tent removal commence, or will it start more with more from a perspective of law enforcement or perhaps even fire abatement? I've seen arson down there as well. Will it start with just enforcing common sense assault and battery laws?
Well, the first question in my mind is what will the city's response be to the court order?
Yeah.
Will they choose to comply or try to comply, in which case we talk about one set of, one course that the thing might take?
Yeah.
Or do they appeal? Do they go back to the federal court to ask the federal court to give them different instructions that preclude them from applying so that you have competing courts? It's unclear still at this point exactly how the city will respond, but the first thing, if they were to try to comply, would be that they would instruct people, at least during the daytime, when it's not sleeping at night, like we've talked about, mm-hmm. that you can't leave your tent up during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't move it, there are, public order laws that can be enforced, mm-hmm. whether that's disorderly conduct, along with, the other full spectrum of laws that we don't see evidence of enforcement on.
Mike, you, as I mentioned in your biography, I could spend a whole segment doing your biography. As I briefly mentioned, you're a former U.S. attorney. You've also been a deputy attorney general for the state. This situation up until, shall we say, 4 p.m. yesterday, 3 p.m. yesterday, this situation must have been tremendously frustrating to law enforcement itself, too. At least the law enforcement officers I spoke to in the community felt that their hands were being tied. And, nothing frustrates an officer more than seeing a crime they can't do something about. I don't know if that was your sense as well.
Sure, I think that's exactly right. The officer on the ground actually doing the patrol surely had opportunities to enforce the law and a desire to enforce the law, and whether it was a written policy or unwritten policy, the simple fact is that if you were to arrest people for public illicit drug use or possession or for public indecency of one kind or another, either just going through the human functions or sexual indecency, a number of the residents of that area would have been taken to jail.
Yeah.
But the city is again choosing, they consider the enforcement of laws in the criminal system to be counterproductive in the long run,
mm-hmm.
at what they call solving or ending homelessness. And so it's a policy choice, and it's a policy choice not being made, I'm sure, directly by the police. It's being made by the powers that be.
Right. So do we expect to see a fairly rapid, shall we say, redressing of what's going on down there, a cleanup of what's going on down there? Or do you think that the city of Phoenix is going to try and, well, you had mentioned possibly going to federal court on this. I don't want you to have to unveil your own litigation strategy, but do you expect a rather rapid difference?
Well, if they choose to comply with the court order without further litigation, absolutely, we would expect to see change immediately.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, I think many of the service-resistant individuals that are living down there now would self-select out if certain laws started to be enforced, or if you weren't able to retain, a campsite during the daytime. Many people would find another place to go.
Well, Mike, again, congratulations. This is a victory not only for your plaintiffs, but really for civility and for humanity here, because what is going on down there is the opposite of civility and humanity. So, again, really, I know it's a busy day for you. Thank you for taking some time with us, and thank you for your hard-fought and hard-won victory here, sir, for all of us, and for, shall I say, the residents in the zone, too.
Well, thank you, Seth. And if I can quickly add, to be very clear, the lawyers and our clients want people to, live in good conditions and have help It just can't be done like this.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Treating humans as humans is what you won a victory for, Mr. Bailey. Thank you, sir. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. That Mike Bailey, he's worth his weight in gold. What a great public servant, and now in the private sector doing the service of the public. I say that. He's kind of like Hugh Hallman that way. Hugh Hallman is coming up now in the private sector doing so much great for the public good. I say that because it was back in, I'm just picking this up now, November of this past year, where I had an op-ed in the Arizona Republic on the Zone with Steve Twist, our other good buddy. We're all really good friends here. And this notion that the city of Phoenix government entities, your taxpayer dollars at work, allowing this festering and growing problem to not only exist but to expand, is the opposite, really the opposite of humanity. And when you think about the kinds of things you expect of your local government, yeah, sure, potholes, yeah, sure, garbage collection, yeah, sure, safe and workable streets, and yeah, sure, supporting, obviously, crime-free community. The exact opposite of all of that is what has been transpiring in the Zone for too long now. I used to, after I went and toured it a couple of times, I used to tell people when I gave talks on it that they probably shouldn't go visit it on their own, that I would take them in my urban assault vehicle to see what was going on there. But to describe it as a war zone is not hyperbole. And anyone who has been there says that's exactly what it does look like. And allowing people in our community or any community in the United States or any community that calls itself just, allowing people to live like that is inhumane. It's simply inhumane. Where the first victims of this awful policy of the city of Phoenix are the people living there themselves. They are its first victims. The growing community into which it was going to be spreading centrifugally with like a centrifuge, would be the secondary victims. But thank God that this case was won by Mike Bailey and his team, because it may be the first corrective in a series of other municipalities as well to a badly decided case out of the city of Boise that has led to way too much indolence and excuse-making by city officials whose first job, yes, is the protection of its citizens. You know, we suffer from a lot of bad policymakers in leadership right now, particularly if they come from parties that we didn't vote for or disagree with. Thank God there's a legal system that works, because we may end up over the next several years having to litigate our way out of some of these, if not a lot of these, awfully bad policies we are going to have to suffer through or otherwise would. Okay, thank you again. I am Seth Leibson. Hugh Hallman, another great public servant in the private sector, now joining us when we come right back.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.